welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is your home for free speech, so keep free speech alive. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation. Also, go to nationalbugle.com, and you can download the Kosher-tified app. It is an app that will help you lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Okay, with that shilling out of the way, I don't have to officially shill for the Communist Party of China yet because the checks haven't started arriving, but I'm waiting for that. Anyway, we have Mark Collett. It's Monday. We have Mark Collett. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hello, Patrick. Thank you for having me on. It's always a good way to start the week. And boy, do we have a lot of things to talk about on this particular show. I've been particularly busy, and we've seen a number of very interesting developments here in the UK over the weekend, and I believe some of these developments have been mirrored elsewhere in the world as well.
Well, they have not been mirrored where I am yet. I'm seeing people just going along with everything, but I want some hope. So let's keep hope alive. And tell us what's been going on in Britain.
Well, at the weekend, there was on Saturday, and this is the first thing we'll talk about, there was sizable anti-lockdown protests all over the UK. And my group, Patriotic Alternative, we were out in force all over the country doing numerous community events. But one of our groups in the Midlands delivered over 5,000 anti-lockdown leaflets to homes in their region. But as I said, there was also much bigger protests, and the biggest was in London. It was an absolutely massive protest, and it attracted a range of people from across the political spectrum, including prospective mayoral candidates, celebrities, and other quite well-known individuals. And it went off peacefully. The problem actually was the police. The police were very quick to jump on top of people. They were very quick to start using their batons. And again, you could see the state deploying very, very different tactics when dealing with these particular demonstrators than they did when they were dealing with vicious anti-white BLM thugs that were attacking people, looting, rioting, and basically breaking the law. Again, we see this massive double standard when it comes to policing here in the UK. And I've got to say that the people on that protest, they were very disciplined, they were very orderly, everything seemed to have a very positive atmosphere, and you could see people were not breaking the law, people weren't going out of their way to cause trouble, in fact quite the opposite, people going out of their way to be very, very respectful, because you tend to find that these protests are actually supported by what I would call the right type of person. They're supported by people who aren't actually trying to tear the country down. They're not trying to rip down statues or set war memorials alight or burn the Union Jack. The people at these protests, for a large part, many of them actually love the country. Many of them are patriots or nationalists. They're people who want their country to be prosperous and great, and they see these lockdowns as something that's preventing that, as something that's not just preventing personal liberty, but is actually destroying people's lives and damaging the UK. And these people are far, far better behaved than anyone on the left. And you can actually compare this with a different protest that happened on Sunday in the UK, where a group of protesters who call themselves Kill the Bill, and by the way, in America, you might not know what the bill is, but the bill is an abbreviation for the police in the UK. It's sort of a nickname that the police have, the bill. And Kill the Bill are a group who want to basically attack the police, defund the police, and prevent the police from operating or arresting people, really. So they're an anti-police group, and they rioted and attacked a police station in the UK, in Bristol in the UK. They burnt cars, they graffitied the police station, they smashed windows, they attacked officers. It was actually a full-on riot. Yet, despite the nature of the crimes committed, I think there was only about, or to date, there's only been 7 arrests. And this really illustrates the difference in the way the police deal with different protesters. You have a large peaceful protest calling for all, for liberty, for human rights, for an end to these lockdowns, and the police are looking for any excuse to arrest somebody. You have a vicious anti-police protest run by a group called Kill the Bill, which basically translates to kill police officers, and they are allowed to run riot, they are allowed to smash up a police station, burn police cars, and yet only 7 people have been arrested, and the Daily Mail went out of their way to call the people who were part of that riot protesters and demonstrators. Well, I've seen nationalists at demonstrations and protesting before, and those people have been branded thugs, they've been branded rioters. And again, you can see this absolutely huge, huge double standard that's operating here.
So I saw some Twitter feed of people posting about these demonstrations, not the Kill the Bill demonstrations, but the anti-lockdown demonstrations. And it seemed as if the media was just saying hundreds of people came out, hundreds. But then, of course, it would be accompanied by videos, and you could see these demonstrations were absolutely massive. How many people wound up getting arrested in the anti-lockdown demonstrations?
I'm not sure, but I have seen pictures in the Daily Mail showing that the people who were arrested seemed to be treated quite harshly. Police were raising their batons to the protesters, and there seemed to be, and this is just my perception, but it always seems to me that when you have these protests, and they are legitimate protests, and they are largely peaceful, the police seem to go out of their way not to calm things down, but to actually stir things up. The police seem to go absolutely out of their way to do things that would be really described accurately as provocation. They intend to provoke the crowd into a response. And I feel this is so that the police can, after the fact, claim that there were arrests, that there was trouble, that the crowd reacted in a violent way. And I think this is done so that the media can then attempt to fool the public, which sometimes they actually manage to do. But so the media can then fool the public and say, oh, well, you know, you saw those Black Lives Matter lot. Well, I know there's a lot of black people there, but have a look at this protest that was mainly white people and was calling for freedom and liberty, but there was also some arrests here, so they're all as bad as one another. And I genuinely believe that is the reason behind this. I think that's a driving factor behind why the police are so quick to react violently or to attempt to provoke people at what would otherwise be very, very peaceful, mainly white protests.
So when Jason, No White Guilt, and I were at the Capitol on January 6th, we talked to someone. This was midday. This was, when did we talk? It must have been, we talked to them at about 3 p.m., and the so-called breach of the Capitol was, I've seen different timelines, but the most recent timeline I saw said the breach came at something like 2:23. And we saw these people walking away, and they were, one was kind of limping, and he had these marks on his leg, and he said he'd been shot with rubber bullets. And he said that the guy next to him had been shot in the face, and that the rubber bullet had gone through the guy's cheek, and then he spit the rubber bullet out on the ground, and one of the guys walking pulled it out of his pocket, said that was the bullet. Maybe he meant that was the bullet that had shot him or something. I'm not sure. But at any rate, he said that the rally participants really hadn't gotten that agitated until the rubber bullets and the intense tear gas started. So that would follow the pattern that you're talking about. I'm not sure. And the thing is, I would assume that with some of these groups, like the 3%, the 3%ers, I believe, were there too, but the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, both of which were led by by either FBI informants or former FBI agents, that they would have tried to smash windows and get in regardless of what happened. But it did seem that the use of rubber bullets, these events would be before there had been any breach. And the breach, it was almost certainly the feds themselves. I still don't have a timeline on what went on at which parts of the Capitol perimeter, but it seems to follow that pattern where they were trying to get people riled up.
Well, I think that's exactly what they're trying to do. They do that all over. And it seems there's two different types of policing. And I want to draw a direct comparison. Here in the UK, when BLM started to really take off, and when I say take off, I mean it was pushed by the media. There was obviously a lot of astroturfing there. A lot of people were encouraged to go along to BLM events by unions, left-wing groups. You could see that the police were dealing with BLM in a very, very interesting way. Now, BLM or BLM supporters were turning up at Downing Street, and they were stood outside. They were attacking police officers. They were attacking mounted police officers, attacking the police horses. They were being very, very aggressive. And the police were wearing what would be described as their regular uniform that they would patrol in. And by that, I mean they were wearing a hat, not a helmet. They were wearing white short-sleeve shirts. They were in regular summer gear that you could imagine two police constables wearing as they walked through a park, making sure children weren't making a nuisance of themselves. And that kind of attire is not worn by police officers when police officers are dealing with riots, when police officers are meant to be policing events that could potentially turn nasty. That is worn by police officers when they are in low risk, when they're doing low-risk duties, or maybe even desk jobs. That's the kind of uniform you'd imagine the police wearing when they're doing a low-risk duty or a desk job. But that is what the police were wearing when they were policing this event, which to me seemed rather strange. So you could compare that then with what police were wearing at these events we're talking about at the weekend, specifically the anti-lockdown event. And I was looking at what some of these police were wearing. I've seen the picture on the Daily Mail site. Some of them were in full riot gear. They had batons. They were raising their batons to the crowd. They were acting in a way which was obviously going to create anger from the crowd. People were obviously going to be annoyed by this. People were obviously going to have their backs up. They were obviously going to react badly. And I believe that that shows a really clear distinction between the way the police approach different groups. If it's a left-wing group, if it's a black or minority group, they call it BAME in this country, black, Asian and minority ethnic, if it's a BAME group, the police act completely differently when they're policing them. However, if it is a majority white group, and God forbid, if it's actually a group that are patriotic or nationalistic or protesting about something like the grooming scandal, the police behave completely differently. And a lot of that is so that they can provoke those protesters in order to get the kind of response that the media want when covering specific groups. And I think that is something that has happened time and time again. You saw it with a lot of these Tommy Robinson events. Now, I'm not a massive fan of Tommy Robinson. He's definitely not a massive fan of me. But I remember him holding an event in Manchester, and Tommy Robinson supporters were corralled into a small area. They were then marched or walked past by the police. The police forced them to move in a certain direction that pushed them past all of the Antifa thugs. And the Antifa thugs then were allowed to pepper the protesters with cans, bottles, fruit, other missiles that they had in their possession. And obviously that created an issue where the Tommy Robinson supporters were rightfully very, very angry. And they reacted in kind. They started throwing back missiles and objects at the Antifa supporters. And then the press were there. You could hear the clicking and whirring of 1,000 cameras, as it were. And it was all caught on film. What they wanted to catch on film, that is, which wasn't the Antifa members throwing missiles at the Tommy Robinson supporters. It wasn't the police marching the Tommy Robinson supporters to where Antifa were. But what was caught on camera was the faces, the contorted faces of Tommy Robinson supporters as they hurled missiles back at the people throwing missiles at them. And the headlines wrote themselves. Anger flares at Tommy Robinson event. Thugs bring Manchester to a standstill at nationalist march. And of course, this is what they want. And when I say they, I am clearly talking about the media, the press, the establishment. And that is why all of this is, all of these things play out in this way. And it's not that they're playing out naturally or organically. All of this is essentially choreographed. And the police, as part of the establishment, play a massive, massive role in this. And you have to remember that this isn't something that operates in a vacuum. This isn't the police just doing this as a one-off. This isn't just the police acting against nationalists as a one-off response. But in fact, this is something that is done across the board. The police are anti-white. They are anti-British. The police forces that are marching Tommy Robinson supporters towards the Antifa so a fight can be arranged, basically, by a state body so the media can photograph that fight and then smear one side of the people involved in that fight. That state body, the police, are the same police force that covered up hundreds of thousands of cases of sexual abuse by Muslim men against white girls.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of questions regarding all this phenomenon, and I want to... Well, I'll pose them first, but we're up on the break, and then you can answer after the break. And first is, do Muslims and other non-whites not care about breathing or being locked down? And the second is, who actually makes up the police force? So like to get your responses to those on the other side of the break.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
And we are back. Just before the break, I asked two questions. Who are these police? Aren't they white people themselves, or have they been very much loaded up with non-whites? And then second, when I saw the images from these anti-lockdown demonstrations, I did see pretty much exclusively white people. I didn't see any non-whites. Do non-whites not care about these issues? Are non-whites pro-mask and pro-lockdown? How does that work?
I don't think non-whites are pro-mask or pro-lockdown, and I'm not saying that they are at all. But what I am saying is the anti-lockdown protests tend to be white people. And I believe that's because people of European descent tend to value freedom and personal liberty more than other racial groups. And I've already said, a lot of people on these protests, you wouldn't necessarily say they're all nationalists. They're certainly not all racial nationalists. But many of them are patriots. Many of them are people who would be conservatives. And when I say conservative, I mean with a lowercase c. They're not members of the Conservative Party. But they are people who are traditionalists. They're conservatives. Again, people who you would traditionally say enjoy liberty and stand for liberty and think that liberty and personal responsibility and personal choice are important things. And again, I believe that white people are massively overrepresented in groups that are conservatives, that are traditionalists. And Even on the left of these groups, you have people who are, again, skeptics. You have your anti-vaxxers. You have people who are anti-establishment. But I've got to say this, again, amongst these groups, the vast majority of people tend to be people of European descent. And I think the government, the police, and the media look at these protests and they are genuinely fearful of them. Because these protests are bringing together people who are largely of European descent. They are uniting them behind an ideal, and that ideal is liberty. And liberty is something that the establishment fears an awful lot. They can't stand the idea of liberty for our people. And I think that based on everything that I've just said, it becomes very, very clear that the powers that be want to demonize the people at those events. And that's not to say there weren't some black people there. It's not to say there weren't some Asians there. There weren't some people from the Indian subcontinent there. There were. But when you look at the makeup of the people at these freedom protests, that it's much, much more European in its makeup than, say, the Black Lives Matter protests. And the people at those protests, and this is another interesting thing, whenever you see these BLM or Kill the Bill riots, or if you want to be very kind to them, protests, everyone's covering their faces. Everyone's hiding their identity. There's an air about them of unease, as if it could all just go off at any moment.
All right, guys.
And I think
it
does a lot of the time, so that's an accurate description. But when you look at these anti-lockdown protests, what do you see? Well, you see people with their faces uncovered. Part of this protest was an anti-face mask protest. There weren't people there covered up. They weren't wearing COVID face masks. They weren't wearing black hoods. They didn't have scarves over their face. They were there because they wanted to walk down the street and talk about freedom, show that they weren't scared of the establishment, that they wanted to say, I want to walk down the street with people like me. We want to get life back to normal, and we want to get rid of these face masks. And again, when you see a large number of people walking down the street and their faces are covered, they're hiding behind scarves, they've got black hoods over their heads, there's a very different atmosphere at that kind of event to one where people are showing their faces. But the police behave in the opposite way to the way that you would imagine them to behave. When the police are policing one of these events where everyone's clad in black and their faces are covered and they've got hoods up and they're screaming and shouting and going crazy, the police roll over. The police allow these people a much freer rein. But when you see people acting peacefully, the police are desperate to demonize those people. And I think that's also because they fear peaceful protest. Because the vast majority of British people today, you could call a broad middle class. Most people today have got something to lose. Mm-hmm. And people want to be involved. And those people want to be involved with something. They often have the same concerns as people on marches and demonstrations. But they want to be involved with something that is more open, that's more above board, that they feel that they could get behind and not be embarrassed about being behind. And those freedom protests were exactly that. They weren't intimidatory. They were open. They were welcoming. And I think the police, working on behalf of the establishment, are desperate to demonize the people there, get them into some kind of confrontation so they can say, they're the real bad guys. When clearly, when you look at it, just as a visual thing, you look at the two pictures about those two different protests that happened over the weekend, and you can straight away see how different they were. But then you see the police's response to these freedom protesters. It's scandalous.
Yeah, the police and the press's response. Okay, well, we are up on the second break, but we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So
so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back, and, you know, these, it's good to see some pushback by the British people and maybe some people in other countries against these lockdowns. You can't look at what's going on now, whether you're talking about the lockdowns, whether you're talking about, say, the Black Lives Matter demonstrations that we had that were so celebrated by the press, whereas, you know, the anti-lockdown demonstrators are reviled by the press. But there's another... You can't look at these things without thinking that really our society is under attack. And then you look at what's going on once again on America's southern border, and it's an attack. Well, it's an invasion. And so we now have this situation where you're getting... they're saying hundreds of thousands per month arriving at the southern border. It could wind up being bigger. And I was listening to one reporter. He calls himself a war reporter. His name is Michael Yon. And I've been critical of him in the past because, you know, he covered the Hong Kong riots. And I thought I think the Hong Kong rioters are pretty obnoxious because they set fire to old people and whatnot. But at any rate, he's been down in Colombia, and not just him. There's a Japanese woman who also covers, has been covering this. She went down to Colombia, and between the two of them, between the video that was supplied by this Japanese woman whose name slips my mind, and Michael Yon, who is, he's in his 50s, and he's pretty, even though he might be freelance or something, he's pretty establishment. I heard him on the John Batchelor show. What they're putting together is you've got people from all over the world, whether you're talking about Haiti, whether you're talking about Nepal, just people from all over the world. If they, you know, they can't just fly into America, so what they're doing is they're flying to South America, and of course, between South America and North America is this very narrow isthmus, and that's Panama, and Panama has a little border with Colombia, and that's actually, there's a trans, what do they call it, the Trans-American Highway, which runs the length, it starts somewhere in Texas or somewhere, and then goes all the way through Mexico, all the way through Central America, down into South America. Although there is a gap, there's a gap in a 60-mile gap in this jungle in Panama, and so they gather right around there, and then they do have to get through this gap one way or another, which they walk through or whatever. So you have all these people from all over the world, and they gather there, they walk through this gap. Where they're attacked and women are raped and whatnot. But what was being described, especially like by Michael Yon in particular, was if you watch CNN in South America, the Spanish edition of CNN, CNN is basically just operating as a giant invitation card saying that when people arrive at the southern border, that they're going to be welcomed with open arms, and they're going to be given passes to get into the United States, and they'll be given a stipend and a bus or plane ticket to get to somewhere in the interior of the country. So CNN is playing this very, very active role in trying to invite people to come to do this, to make this trek. And he also talked about various NGOs or even the United Nations operating in Colombia, providing assistance to these people who are assembling in order to infiltrate the United States. And one of the groups he mentioned was the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which of course we see all over the place. And the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, if you go to their website, they boast about how many tens of millions of people they've helped bring to the United States. So that's what's happening at the southern border. So maybe the Colombia / Panama aspect of it is only responsible for, say, 10 or 20% of the total immigrants. You also have, you know, traditional Central Americans who don't have, you know, they're on the northern side of the Panama Isthmus. You know, all these people from El Salvador, from Honduras, from Guatemala, and Mexico coming north. But you've got this massive, massive wave of humanity that is heading into our country. And, of course, the Joe Biden administration, the fake president administration, really does want open borders. Last thing, Michael Yon, before he went down to Colombia, was in Texas and New Mexico. And he said that that borders agents told him that they will ignore the instructions and the orders of the administration, and they're going to keep people out. They, or at least some of them, will apprehend people at the border and turn and send them right back into Mexico. How effective that will be in staving off this massive wave, I don't know, but I just think these are interesting developments, and I wanted to hear what you thought about them.
I think it's very interesting how quickly the Biden administration has moved to get immigration rolling again into the United States. It's almost as if that was the biggest priority. Trump obviously won a massive, massive victory against the mainstream. He's obviously part of the establishment to some degree, but he did win a huge, huge victory. And he won that largely on anti-immigration rhetoric. That's something that can't really be disputed. And it seems that after winning that election on the anti-immigration rhetoric, Biden's response to this is, well, everything that Trump has done to prevent mass immigration must be rolled back. And not only must it be rolled back, but we must compensate in some way for immigrants that might not have been able to get into the US under his administration by doubling the number of immigrants we're having coming in now. So it's almost like they're making up for lost time, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Not just almost as if they are making into policy, or at least attempting to make into policy, because there is a bill before Congress to bring people who had been refused or people who had been deported in the past are going to have the right to come back to the United States on the taxpayer dime and have their cases heard.
Well, okay, well, that's exactly what I'm saying, and I didn't even know that was happening. So it looks like my prediction, well, it wasn't really a prediction, it was more of an analysis. It looks like my analysis was correct without me even knowing that it was correct. And that's interesting, because it shows what the Biden administration is really interested in doing. And it's not interested in helping Americans. It's interested in primarily ensuring that white Americans become a minority as soon as possible. And I think that that's very telling. That is just very telling. But it's interesting that there are people within certain public bodies or within certain agencies that do want to fight against that and do want to do their job and do want to prevent this large number of illegal aliens crossing the border and swamping America. But how that can be effective, I'm not sure, because this isn't... In the past, what we've seen is agencies ignoring somebody at the top to do something that the press has supported. So, for example, the press would support, if there'd been an agency that said, look, we're ignoring Trump and mm-hmm. we're doing as we please and we're letting more immigrants in than we should, the press would have supported that and they would have more or less attempted to show that the public were supporting that disobedience. But now you've got an agency.
Or cover up the fact that disobedience was going on in the first place.
Yeah, but I think if there was disobedience in the past against something that Trump had said, mm-hmm. you would have had plenty of media outlets, plenty of people who work in the press, would have turned around and ultimately they would have said, you know what? These people are heroes for being mm-hmm. disobedient. And if Trump or anyone had tried to stamp out the disobedience or do anything to prevent that group or body being disobedient, I think the press would have jumped all over them and they'd have tried to manufacture some kind of false public sympathy for the agency and make out, oh, you know, the public are completely behind these heroes. They're completely behind this group that are absolutely doing the opposite of what they're meant to be doing. But now, I can't see that will be the case. I think now the press will be, oh, well, these guys aren't doing their job, sack them, which is exact opposite of what they'd have done under the Trump regime. And this is how you can see the press and the media, and just like we've just said in Britain, where you've got the police colluding with the press and the media to get them the pictures they want, here you have the police, or well, not the police, but you have the press and the media colluding with different establishment bodies or organisations mm-hmm. to essentially paint a picture that makes anybody step into line almost instantly. Because what they're saying is, you either do what we say and we will give you our rubber stamp and support you, or you don't do what we say and we will ruin you and we will make you out, we will malign you. That is essentially what is happening. And even though these public bodies are attempting to do their job, I should imagine they would completely support the Biden administration for stopping those public bodies doing their job and actually calling for people to be fired.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, fake President Biden did call for a 100-day, was it a 100-day moratorium on deportations? And according to Michael Yon, well, the Immigration Service is deporting people, probably not in very significant numbers compared to the wave of humanity that is crossing the borders. But, yeah,
but how long is he even going to be there? Is he really even? I mean, when I say he's obviously the president, but is he really, how long is he going to be actually serving as president? Because he doesn't look in good shape. He looks in particularly ill health. He's struggling now, not just to string sentences together, but to actually move around. He fell three times walking up the stairs to Air Force One. It seems that everything you've said about him, more or less being a puppet and a gateway for Kamala Harris, is absolutely true.
Yeah, and, you know, there's some things I'm not quite sure how it's going to work. I'm not sure. So Biden did put together this administration, or an administration was put together for Biden on his behalf, and it includes a lot of people that have been close to him for years and years, such as Tony Blinken. Excuse me. And the question I have, and I don't have the answer for it, is to what extent are these people, like Tony Blinken or Ron Klain, the chief of staff, to what extent are they they in a hurry to have whom I call Chlamydia Harris? I don't want to use the her fake. I don't want her to use her Indian name. She's decided she's going to be a fake black person, and she should have a fake black name. To what extent are they in a hurry to change this status quo? Biden probably suits them to a T. He's not going to change anything. But we'll see about that. But the one thing is, you mentioned the press, the way they deal one way with, one group and another way with another, the way they handled the Biden administration as opposed to the Trump administration. And it really gets down to, they're obviously not just government shills, because when Trump was in the White House, they were extremely anti-Trump administration. And you wonder, do we have a not so much a government-run media as a media-run government? And I think the media's independent actors, and you look at Michael Yon's claims, which I can't analyze at this point, that CNN Spanish language service is just pushing everybody to come here. You wonder.
I'm not sure. You see, we're saying, is it a media-run government or a government-run media? I think the two are more or less indistinguishable. I think it's all one big establishment. Mm-hmm. And that's not a cop-out. I'm not trying to ignore what you're saying. I actually do believe that's the situation we're in. I think that it is the establishment. And the establishment and the establishment media are one and the same. And I talk about communism, I talk about the Soviet Union, the situation in Soviet bloc countries, and I think we're in a very similar situation. You have a media which is absolutely an establishment media, and that media toes the line. And I think
toe the line, or does it set the line?
I think both. I think they're in each other's pockets to such a degree, it's almost impossible to differentiate between the two. And one of the very telling things about this is, even say, and we'll call it the right wing press. Let's call it the right wing press. I know that people will say, oh, well, they're not really on our side. They're not really right wing. They're just controlled. But that's exactly my point, that the media now was in such a position where they are, where they either completely push the establishment line, or if they don't push the establishment line, they still push it in a way, or they still give push back in a way that's totally toothless. And I'll give you an example. In the UK,
and we have about a minute before the break.
Well, in the UK, the line is that multiculturalism is what Britain needs. And you can still say, well, multiculturalism isn't quite working. But you can never say multiculturalism must stop. You can never say it needs to be reversed. You can say it's not quite working and that we should do more to integrate. So you can critique, but the ultimate answer to the critique still has to be that multiculturalism needs to go ahead, but maybe just with a little bit more integration. So you'll see something like the Daily Mail. They won't say, well, it's a time for an end to multiculturalism. They will say, oh, multiculturalism isn't working. So what do we need? Better integration. We need more understanding. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we are up at the break, and we'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we are back. Okay, Mark, so we just have a few minutes left, but you had a busy weekend, didn't you?
I certainly did. This weekend, I did a very, very interesting interview, a live interview, with Tariq Ahmed from the Syrian Social Nationalist Party. And on that interview, there was also Daniel Consovano from the Braves in Italy and a member of the Nordic Resistance Party. And we all discussed the current situation in Syria. Now, that's up on my BitChute, so people can go and watch that there. That's a very interesting discussion. And what's more, I released a video about the way that when an ethnic minority murders a white person, the media sideline that particular story and don't give it coverage. But if a white man murders a white woman, then it's basically front page news. The video is called A Tale of Two Murders. And I'm also in the process of moving my content over to a platform called Odyssey, which is the front end for LBRY, which is a blockchain content, sort of video content site, a bit like YouTube, but all stored on blockchain, so you can't be deplatformed on there. And I think it's very important we start using services like that. So anyone listening that wants to check out my content, all my old videos are currently being uploaded on Odyssey. So please support me on that platform as well as on BitChute and other platforms, and hopefully that will keep my content safe for years to come so that people can continue to share it, continue to enjoy it, and it doesn't just disappear down the Google memory hole.
And you also do these live streams every week. You've got the 100th memorial, or the 100th, I guess you call it memorial one, and 100th anniversary coming up. Are you going to be able to do any live streaming using this new type of platform?
Well, that's a very good question. In a couple of weeks, I think it's 3 weeks, we've got our 100th episode of PWR, and Patrick, you're invited to be a guest on that show. And we are also going to be moving to Odyssey when they bring up their live streaming. They are working on live streaming at the moment. They're going to be having a blockchain live streaming service, and that means we can stream without fear of being deplatformed, and it means a permanent home for PWR rather than us having to bounce between YouTube, DLive, Trovo, and other different sites. It's important that we have a permanent home, and hopefully we can achieve that by the end of this year, and that will help numerous people turn their back completely on Google. Because thankfully, Google doesn't hold all the cards anymore. Just in the same way that blockchain technology has helped us move away from traditional banking, with a bit of luck, it will help us move away from traditional social networks and content hosting sites too.
Yeah, and especially, I guess, younger people and perhaps dissidents and nationalists are becoming more and more familiar with some of these alternative platforms.
They are, and some people always argue that it's a bit of an echo chamber on these sites, but I disagree. I see it more of a safe haven. At the moment, YouTube is becoming so milquetoast. It's becoming such a left-wing echo chamber that many, many normal people are actually leaving it or being forced off it just because they've left comments on videos that YouTube don't like. And I think if we get on board with these alternative platforms as they're taking off, we can actually dominate the discourse on those platforms, and that is something that's very important for our future.
Okay. Well, Mark, thank you very much for joining me today. We look forward to next week, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.